Philippians chapter number 2. And I do want to thank the teenagers for coming over to our house this week. We had our teen murder mystery night. Nobody got killed, but one of them was a killer. So I don't know where she is. I saw her here earlier. Okay. Jessica's in nursery, but she is, watch yourself. I don't know what she's doing in there with our kids, but she is cold-blooded killer. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of teenagers just jumped into their roles. Monty was Hubert Sagan Sales, and he was kind of a pirate that had a problem with root beer, and too much root beer for that guy. We had to change a few of the things in the set, but he did a great job acting out his character. And then Daft Sam was Thomas Vetter, and I was just impressed with his impersonation of Daft Sam, who had a little bit too much of a liking for muck, which was the horse's doo-doo. And so he was all into that muck, and so he knew all about it. And but he did his character really, really well, dressed really great. So we had a lot of fun with the teenagers. McConnell also had a great costume, and it was fun to be there with him. So thank you guys for coming and participating in that. But we're in Philippians chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're just going to read all the way down through verse 10. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And we'll read verse 11 as well. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. I pray, God, that you'd use me as I preach this message. It's an unusual message for me to preach. So, God, I do pray that you would help the minds and the hearts of those listening here this morning to get the heart of what I'm saying. It's very easy to be distracted by the themes and the ideas that I'm talking about this morning, and to maybe even go out of here misunderstanding the theme. And so, God, I do pray that you'd give us wisdom, understanding, and your Spirit would guide us as we look at a very important topic this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. As I mentioned in my prayer, I typically don't usually preach messages like the one I'm going to preach this morning. I tend to map out a journey of growth for our church well in advance of the particular message I'm preaching, and then I will write messages according to that path every week. So you notice for our church, for our theme is impact. We've been talking about this quarter our faith, and I'll be preaching messages along the lines of faith. And I did. I had decided that a few months ago I wanted to preach on humility, having faith to have humility. But as I got closer and closer to this week, there was things that were happening in our world that I believe were important to talk about. And I typically do not preach on current events. They don't distract me. I have that mindset of none of these things move me. There's a goal that we've been given. All the events that we need to know about are in the Bible. God prophesied them. Our mission is in the Bible, what we're supposed to be doing regardless of what happened. And so whatever happens in the world, none of these things move me. You know, the stock market can absolutely crash. We still preach the gospel. We still tell folks, we still are kind to folks. We still be Christian. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. Whoever's in office, whatever happens, we still have our mandate. But this morning, I'm going to preach a message on the topic of racism with humility. Because I actually want to do quite a bit of preaching on it. I'm going to preach on it on Sunday nights. even maybe some Sunday school, because I think it's important. I think it's important that we understand what God says about the idea of the subject. And we understand that there's a right way to respond, and there's a wrong way to respond, even as a Christian. And even if you're like me, I don't watch the news. Maybe you do, but even if you don't watch the news, you have to have an idea of what's going on across our country right now, especially in North Carolina and places. There's some definite things going on that you've probably heard about, where there's these racial tensions that are being ramped up like incredibly high. I'm not going to say like never before, because we did have a civil war, but the situations are boiling over. They're becoming violent and even deadly in what's happening. And I'm not here today to pick a side. Hope you understand that. And I don't think that'd be wise, because I don't believe one of the reasons why I don't preach a lot about politics is because the sides are corrupt no matter where you're at, in some level or another. You can't say this side is absolutely righteous, because it's not. Christ is righteous, so we preach Christ. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's been my motto. But even though I'm not going to pick a side, I think it's very important from the very beginning that I state that racism and racial discrimination is wicked. It's wrong. It's not godly. It's not what God would have you to do. And if you have that mindset, I challenge you to repent. Get it right with God. But I hope this morning, I do believe that there is a solution in the Bible, and it actually has to do with the humility of Jesus Christ. Christ, as our example, gave us the solution with what's going on in our world today. And I think it's absolutely fascinating. I've been praying about this, and God gave me these thoughts, and it's an amazing thing. But people ask me about my sermon preparation. How do you prepare your sermon? How do you do it? And on Sunday morning, I think about it, I pray about it, and my sermon prep, when I actually write the message, takes me just a few minutes. Typically. Sometimes I'm just, not coming to me. But this morning was one of those messages where just in a few minutes, I actually did it on my iPad, just typed it out, and it was here. And it's coming from my heart. I actually thought about preaching this message without notes, because I want to give you my heart. I want to show you what I believe God would have us to know from Philippians chapter 2 that I believe is an amazing solution. You see, Jesus is God, and yet He humbled Himself, and in His humility, He gave us an incredible example of how we can succeed in healing our country and loving individuals no matter what their skin color is. It's absolutely amazing. Now, Philippians chapter 2 starts with this wonderful text, and I think it should be our prayer for our families, for our church, for our nation. It begins, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind," that's humility, "but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And as you read that, doesn't that sound amazing? That's incredible. Boy, I wish that would be, everybody would have that thought, would have that mindset. That would be awesome. Each esteeming others better than themselves. What if everybody was like-minded for Christ? What if everybody had the same love one for another? What if everybody was of one accord and of one mind? Wow. That would be awesome. Amazing even. What if everyone looked after each other and esteemed others better than themselves, regardless again of skin color? Be amazing. How does that happen? How could it happen? It all happens with humility. Or like we're going to look at, first of all, the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men."
Simply put, the mind of Christ is humility. That's the mind of Christ. It's humility. Now, the word humility means to bring low or to abase. To humble means to have a lowly view of self in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Now, the idea with humility is that the world does not revolve around you. Right? Today, who knows? People might actually start saying that because, you know, they're the thing now, the earth is flat and all different kinds of crazy stuff, and now the world actually revolves around me, and I'm the center of the universe, and that, you're not. And the first step of recognizing that, that it's not all about you, is humility. Now, pride does say that. Pride says, hey, you're number one. You first. Take care of yourself first, then everybody else if you feel like it. But humility says, no, the world does not revolve around you. Humility recognizes that you're not number one. And in fact, Christian humility says that I will exalt Christ to the preeminent position, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's number one. I exalt Jesus. Me, I'm not important. And that's Christian humility. James chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble, humility. Now, the opposite of humility is pride. James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we know that Satan in his fall was lifted up in pride. And on the opposite side of that, the mind of Christ is humility. So pride is a bad thing. Humility is a good thing. But it's natural for us to be proudful people. But the solution to what plagues our world is humility. Specifically, the mind of Christ. That is what the answer is to the world that plagues us. Now, the Bible is full of warnings about pride. You go through Proverbs, you know, it's all there. Be careful about pride. Pride cometh before a fall. Haughty spirit before destruction, right? And so we see that pride's bad. At the same time, we see humility is good. It's all throughout the Bible that we see these things, and we're encouraged to be humble. Now, I don't have the time this morning, and that's not the message, to go into a deep discussion about humility versus pride, except for to say that humility is the mind of Christ, and the thing that produces one mind, one accord, and the same love is humility. It's humility that does these things. It produces lowliness of mind. It causes us to esteem others, and even those who are of a different skin color, as better than ourselves. Humility causes us to look after each other before our own needs. And this is the mind of Christ, and that is humility. But how does humility do this? There's a couple things that humility produces. Our message is not going to be long this morning, but I hope it to be potent and powerful to make you think, and that is what brings us to this point. Humility produces a new perspective. I want you to see this in Philippians chapter 2, and this is the crux of the whole message. In verse number 6, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what the Bible is telling us is that Jesus, in the form of God the Son, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He became a man. He took on flesh, just like you and me. He bled just like you and me. He had to sleep just like you and me. He got tired just like you and me. In fact, the Bible tells in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus, because he humbled himself, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because he went through the same things we go through. He understands our life. He understands what we go through. We can go to him as a high priest and say, Jesus, I'm struggling. I'm weary. I'm having a difficult time. And his perspective is to say, I know what that's like. I've experienced that too. We can go to him and say, hey, I've been touched with the feelings of their infirmities. I've seen what they've gone through. I've been tempted like they are tempted. I know what they're going through. Because he humbled himself, he gained a perspective, ours. He understands our life. His perspective is our perspective, all because he humbled himself. And that's the key. Humility produces a new perspective. I want to give you a situation that I think might help it when we talk about racism. Imagine this morning that you went to a deli with your friend Gary. And as you get ready, it's your time in line, you get up to the line in the deli, and you get ready to order, and the owner of the deli looks over the counter, looks at you, and says, I'm sorry. Looks at Gary and says, we don't serve your kind here. Now you're humiliated for Gary. You're embarrassed. That's unbelievable. We don't serve your kind here? And as you go out the store, you're saying, Gary, I'm so sorry. I'm humiliated. I'm embarrassed. And Gary informs you this has happened before. So you want to do something about it for Gary. I want to help Gary out. This is not right. How many understand that's not right? that's not a good thing, all right? Nobody should be treated like that. I haven't even told you what race Gary is yet. Nobody deserves like that. So you know what? I want to make sure that everybody understands that Gary is important. That Gary shouldn't be treated like that. That Gary, we might even say, Gary's life matters. And as you go, you might even get a sign from him, Gary's life matters, right? Because Gary was treated wrong. Gary was discriminated against. Gary was ruined, embarrassed, humiliated even. And you go out to your friend and say, hey, listen, I want to tell you, Gary's life is important. Gary's life matters. And somebody comes up to you and says, duh, all lives matter. Well, that's true. All lives do matter. But you just marginalized Gary's situation. You've just dismissed what Gary went through. It's about perspective. It's about seeing what people are going through. Now, please understand me. Don't go, Pastor supports Black Lives Matter. There's a lot of things in that I think are wrong. The movement has come on and done a lot of things that are not good. Violence, rioting, but at its premise, at its beginning stage, the purpose for it was to bring about a realization that there are things that happen in our world that aren't right. And when you respond by saying, all lives matter, you just dismiss the point. Now, do all lives matter? Absolutely they do. But you say, well, that happened a long time ago. Actually, that's happening today. It still happens. I just watched a video on Facebook where there was a line of people going through like a return area, a return counter. It was in, I think, like a Target. The store was red, so I think it was a Target. And there was a lady in front who was black. And she was kind of taking the time. She kind of didn't have her stuff together. And there was a lady behind her that was impatient, and she started calling her all kinds of names. Blankety blank, this, beep, N-word, that, get out of here. We don't want your kind here. Today. What was so fascinating about it to me is the worker behind the counter didn't say anything. The long line of people that were there, they didn't say anything. Nobody stood up. Nobody stopped it. In fact, there was actually people in the line that were starting to cheer on later. Yeah, that's right. In America, 2017. And I would say to you, that's not right. That's wrong. And it's incumbent upon Christians to have humility to see things from that perspective. I'm not saying you have to support these, because again, it's messed up right now. But at least to have the perspective to say, that is wrong. And to have the boldness to say it. That's not right. And it's amazing. Racism in America is alive and well. There are people that hate blacks for no other reason than they are black. That's it. We don't want your kind here. Get back to where you belong. Get into your level. It's amazing. It's scary. And that's why I think it's important for us to have the right response. And again, I'm not saying you have to do, it's hard because you can't associate with things because there are some things that are evil about it. But you at least have to have the humility to say, you know what, that is wrong. And I see what you're saying. What you're saying makes sense. And that person's life does matter. And what's happening to them is not right. And that's it. You know, it's funny, I have four children. And from time to time, I have the ability to focus in on things really intently. My focus can get really razor sharp to the point where literally I can have a child sitting right next to me saying, Papa, Papa, Papa. And the wife says, Honey, they're talking to you. What I find amazing about this is every time I don't listen, you know what they do? They pick the volume up a notch. Papa! Hey! Oh, yeah, what's up? When you don't listen to somebody, when you don't hear somebody and what they're saying, when you marginalize what they're saying, when you dismiss it, guess what happens? They pick up the volume. They pick up the intensity until somebody says, you know what, I hear you. And that's not right. Humility brings about a change of perspective. What would it take for you and I this morning to have some humility and stop and start to see things from a different perspective? I grew up in an area that wasn't inherently racist. Truth is, there were no black people. They're just not smart enough to live in Montana. You know, hey, it's cold there now. You know, they weren't there. It wasn't a problem. I never saw racism like that. I never saw somebody being told, get out of here, you're not worth it. I never dreamed that could actually happen. Again, I heard of stories. I heard of different drinking fountains back in the 50s and 60s. I heard that, you know, people couldn't vote. And I understand all of that. I heard, but that was then. This is now. It's changed. Not all the way. It hasn't. I understand we live in, one of the things that is amazing is I was doing research for this, I began to realize some of the statistics show that the most segregated event in America is Sunday morning. Church. It's not football games. It's not basketball games. It's not concerts. It's church. Thankfully, we don't have that here. Thankfully, we have a much diversified group, but there are churches today say, hey, go to your own church. You know, it's not your church. You're the wrong color. It's true. That happens. Christian people. And all I'm saying is, why don't we have a little bit of humility and see things from that perspective? Because Christ humbled himself, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and therefore, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He sees life from our perspective. And when we come to him boldly, we may obtain grace to find help in a time of need. Because he experienced our life. I mean, how would you like it if you went to a place and they literally said, just because of who you are, get out of here. We don't want you here. There's no idea. It doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter if you're kind. Doesn't matter how you dress. It's all has to do with this. The color of your skin. Humility brings about a change in perspective. Trust me, I don't have all the answers. for the problems we face today. But we can start with humility. We can start with the mind of Christ. We can start with seeing things in a new perspective. And again, I don't agree with all that the Black Lives Movement has become. There's a lot of things in there. I don't believe in violence. I don't believe in riots. I don't believe in the ideas. There's a lot of things that have gotten in there. There's people driving that I don't agree with that. But the premise of the statement that there is a life being abused and nobody cares is very real in some parts of our country. And rather than saying, hey, quiet down, nothing to see here, all lives matter, continue on with life, why don't we have some perspective? Some humility. It all started with a simple scenario that Gary shouldn't be discriminated against simply because of his skin color. And again, it was met with a resounding refusal to see it. All lives matter. It's true, all lives do matter. They're equal in the sight of God, but that's not what's happening in our country. And that needs to change. And I'm not saying Black Lives Matter more than white lives. That's not true. But we should at least see it and say that's wrong. And if I have the opportunity, I'll say something about it. I'll stop it. Hey, don't talk like that. That's wrong. And I know that we live in a place where it's not terrible. You know, I don't know if you've seen it here in Hawaii, but I've not seen terrible things like that happen. But if you do, say something. That's wrong. Have a change of perspective. Humility changes perspective. Secondly, or thirdly, I guess, humility is an all-inclusive service. Going back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, who did Jesus die for? And again, this is where we get back to everybody matters. But the idea is that in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Everybody. He told us in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody. Especially in the household of God. Is equal. In fact, he told us in Romans chapter 12, or Romans chapter 10 and verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It's all inclusive. It's every creature. Jesus died for all of us. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, and I saw another angel in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred, and tongue, and people. Everybody. Our service, our ministry, should be all-inclusive. Meaning that we don't look at someone and say, you know what? I'm sorry. This is not for you. Jesus loves the world. Yes, I understand that verse. But I'm not giving it to you. I'm not humbling myself and serving you. And again, you may not believe it, but it happens today. Where the gospel is literally held from one person and they're looking for another person who may fit their characteristic a little better. And that's wrong. The gospel is all inclusive. It's for everybody to be involved with and to hear and to see and to believe and to be a part of. And the gospel is to break down those barriers. That's the whole purpose for it. To break down the division between these groups. And to come under the obedience of Christ. He is Lord. In all things, he might have the preeminence of all of our lives. Our ministry and our lives should be all-inclusive. It's a product of humility. As I mentioned earlier, I don't have all the answers. I don't. And I would feel very uncomfortable aligning with one group or another. I can't do that. But I'll try to see what they're trying to say. I'll try to see their point of view. And say, you know what? I hear you. Again, what can I do about it? I can listen. I shouldn't respond with, that doesn't matter. That I don't want to hear that. My life, I think, you know, I thought we were past that. Apparently we're not. But I think we can learn from the example of Jesus Christ. And if the one thing we can do is not meet fire with fire, not to meet angry mobs with angry mobs. I don't think that works. But humility, where we serve an all-encompassing service and where we have humility to see their perspective, to see the injustice, to see the cruelty, is important. It's changing our perspective and causing us to serve everyone. That's what we're after. Again, I'm not taking sides this morning. Don't go for, Pastor, he's taking that. I'm not. I don't condone any kind of racism, period. Or violence, period. And much is wrong with the situation that we currently face. But as Christians, can we let our light shine? Can we demonstrate Christ by being humble? Just humility. If we just add humility to the situation, it's amazing what will happen. It won't get louder and louder and louder. It'll start to, okay, they hear us. Maybe we can go talk to that deli owner and say, hey, listen, buddy, what are you doing? It's not right. From a Christian perspective, that's not right. Never was. For the next few weeks on Sunday night, I'll be looking at that as well on why it's not right from the Bible. It's made of nations all one blood, how we are the same, genetically the same. And there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. This is important. And I believe we're coming to a crossroads. And if somebody doesn't infuse some humility soon, it's going to get really messy. A lot worse than it is right now. It may be Civil War Part 2. If something doesn't happen, it just keeps getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I believe there are forces that are driving that want that. But I don't necessarily think it's the people. I think people get caught up in stuff. And if we can show humility and grace and see things from a different perspective, doesn't mean you have to agree with it. Just says, hey, I see your point. See your point. That's a valid point you're making there. That's it. And then serve everybody. I think we can make a difference. I think we can make an impact. That's pretty good tonight, this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. God, I do pray that you help us to have the mind of Christ. I do pray, God, that you would strengthen us for the task at hand. It's a heavy task. But God, I think we can make a difference if we'll have humility. If we'll humble ourselves. Serve others and change our perspective. And God, I do pray that you'd help us as a people to be, and maybe it could start here in Hawaii. And spread across our country and our world. The love of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The message, God. I pray that you'd help us this morning as we seek to honor you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this question. I didn't preach a lot on it this morning, but maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, and you say, Pastor, I'm here today, and I don't know for sure I'm saved. Let me tell you, regardless of your skin color, your background, your upbringing, your nationality, whatever, God loves you. God loves you. Jesus died for you on the cross. And if you don't know for sure that he is your Savior, today he will save you. Right now. And I'd like to pray for you if that's you. If you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. If I was to die today, I'm not sure my sins are forgiven.
I'm not sure Jesus has saved me from my sins, but I'd like to know more about that. Would you pray for me? I'd love to pray for you. Slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. If that's you here today. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but we need to be humble. Have the mind of Christ. It's tough sometimes. I get it. But humility is always a good response. And God, I do pray that you help us to have that humility, the faith to have that humility when we're so natural, when we're so driven to respond with our pride. And God, I pray that you'd help us, help our country, God, find healing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The key to humility is letting God have his own way. We're going to sing that hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.